views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Well, what do you know? It's time for another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. This is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, saying welcome, welcome. Did I say welcome? The answer is, I sure did. I hope you're doing well these days. And if you are, great. And if you're not, well, at least you're making an effort just by listening to this podcast. And be sure to tell others about this podcast, because it's for us, the whole ADHD thing, the Twitter account, the Facebook page, and this podcast. It's for us, adult ADHDers, adults with ADHD, where we can help each other out, where we can just be. And, you know, if you spread the word, we'll get bigger and our group will get larger and we can help each other and help more people. And who knows, maybe we can collectively make a voice, one big voice, just yelling out, ADHD is real. We have things to offer. Wouldn't that be great? And speaking of expanding our group, I wonder if you could do me this favor. Now, some of you have already done this. Could you just take a couple of minutes? If this podcast is making a difference, if you enjoy it, or maybe it's inspiring you or whatever, on the positive side, I'm not in the mood for negatives right now. Who is, right? If you could just send me an email. And it's easy to do. Just go to clubadhd.ca and hit the email link. Just briefly tell me how it's helped you. And we can take those comments, put them together, and use it in some public relations outreach to make this bigger and better. If you can do that for me, I'd be in your debt. Yeah, I can't pay anything, but you'll get a hearty round of applause. Speaking of the webpage, things are developing. That's right. Finally, I'm working on some elements of the page. I've got someone holding my hand. It's something I'm not used to as far as the method of creating the website. I'm old school, and I'm getting up to snuff a little bit. Yeah, it's going to be good. So I'm fingers crossed. I'm hoping that everything will be up and running within a couple of weeks. That's the plan. Maybe even sooner. So be looking for that. Speaking of websites, hey, I want to thank once again the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada for their support by presenting Club ADHD. And their website, I said it before, I'll say it again, it's terrific. Doesn't matter where you live in this big planet of ours, you can get information on there. Yes, it's targeting Canadians, but a lot of the information can work anywhere. And the address is CADAC, that's CADDAC.ca. It's a great place to go if you have ADHD, if you think you have ADHD, or if you know of people who want to learn more about ADHD. Maybe you'd like to be a flag waver. You know, spread the word. Become your own advocate. Maybe create a group in your area. The information's there. They can help you. And pass a word along to me, too, if I can help you as well. We're all one big happy family, right? Some of you are saying, oh, dysfunction. No, we're not dysfunctional. We're not broken. No, we're just different. We are assets. No, nothing to do with sitting down. We're assets. And with a little help, we can really be somebody in the creative sense. And in doing so, we can help others with their need to expand or whatever. We're opportunity. That's what we are. Some of us are working close to our potential. You know, no one's 100%. And some of us are just sitting there idling, just, you know, raring to go, not knowing where to go. And if we can change attitudes, maybe we'll have some people search us out and say, hey, I see an asset there that's not being utilized. ADHD? Yeah, ADHD is for me. Yeah, I just thought that. I just came up with that snappy phrase. No, I'll stick with ADHD is real as being my favorite phrase when it comes to this podcast. And if you're saying to yourself, yeah, I'm a nobody, you know, I've got this ADHD, I'm broken. No, trust me, you're not. You have value. Everyone has value. But when it comes to ADHD, yeah, we have some solid value. Yeah, we have some obstacles, but we do have value. I know it's tough at times. I can relate. I go through it. I can say, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, and I continue to be there every once in a while. But once you understand it a bit better, as far as our ADHD, it can help elevate you out of that funk. And if you're going to stay in that funk, you're not going to be funky. You're just going to be depressed even more. And good things won't happen. So we have to be proactive. That's my soapbox edition for this Club ADHD, the podcast. Yeah, things are challenging for me, but I'm making the best of it. Fingers crossed. Got some irons in the fire. Yeah, we got to keep at it. And sometimes you may say to yourself, I don't have a fire to stick the iron in. Well, you know, you just got to make it happen. That's all I can say. And yeah, I'm saying that to myself too, because we should be our biggest boosters, our biggest cheerleaders. Sometimes we're not. And nothing will change in our lives if we think that bad things are going to happen, because they will. There's that old saying, if you think you can or you think you can't, you are right. Meanwhile, there are some other things going on in my life. I'm in the middle of my yearly training sessions, 6 weeks, 2 hours a week, where I actually help people become better public speakers. I created a course about, it must be almost 20 years ago. And this group that I teach is associated with the University of Toronto. And for me, it's a good thing because I know the topic. And yeah, I get asked questions, but I'm very comfortable with knowing the answers. But there are times when I don't know the answer. And there are other times, too, when I learn from the students. I view that as positive all the way around. When I don't know the answer, I'll do my homework and see if I can come up with one. And usually it does involve my creativity. So it makes me feel good when I leave that class. Now, I might go in that class thinking, well, I'm down at the dumps here. But once I get cooking, it really helps, boosts your self-image. And as I say that, I urge you to find out what you're good in. There has to be something. And if you're saying, well, there isn't anything, well, find out what you love and look into it. Get that hyper-focus working. And before you know it, you will become an expert, because we ADHDers, we're pretty unique and we're very creative. And when you combine that with something you love to do, who knows? You may find another purpose in life without even trying. So that's good. So yeah, I'm involved in that. I've got a few more weeks to go there. And the students, I always have a good bunch. Not a large crowd. I have students from around the world. Some people can't even speak English all that much. You know, bits and pieces. But they still gain from the course. It makes me feel good. So, yeah, that's what's going on in my life. Hey, if you want somebody to help out, maybe if you have an organization or a business that you're looking for a trainer for, it's a shameless plug time, for public speaking, hey, let me know. Or if you'd like to have somebody come in and talk about ADHD. Yeah, I'm working on my own revision for my website, and that's going to be another element. Getting back into the training thing. Years ago, I'm even getting back into broadcasting. Yeah, but on the internet. But I won't get into that right now. I'll just get back to the training aspect of it. Years ago, I used to do training for public speaking and even motivational training. Isn't that strange, huh? I got to get my own motivation in line at times. And this was before I knew about my ADHD. And now I'm going to get back at it. And I'm going to put another thing on my portfolio, another thing that I can help. And that's presenting keynotes and seminars revolving around ADHD. I'll admit, I'm not a doctor. Don't profess to be one. But with all of the things I've done in the past, and with your help with a podcast and talking to other people with ADHD, I don't know. I seem to find a common thread with a lot of us who are diagnosed later in life. We have a desire hyper-focused to find out more about ADHD. So that's a good thing. Maybe you might want to do the same thing. Maybe become an ADHD coach. It's possible. There are ways to do it. Google is just a click away. So that's what's going on in my life. As far as the podcast here, as I always say, we've got a good one lined up. That's right. Rick Green's back, my buddy Rick, and he has an interesting take on what's going on in his life and what might be going on in yours that you could, I don't know, identify with. It was a good interview. He's always a good interview, and we always get good response from people who enjoy having him on the podcast. And of course, he has his own network of information, and we'll get to that in a few moments. But first, I know I've been saying as of late, because we had a bit of a hiatus, we're in catch-up mode. That's why you're experiencing this podcast sooner than 2 weeks from the previous podcast. And yeah, the previous one was interesting. Good old Santa Claus. Oh, man. Who knew that I had multiple personalities? It was fun. Took some work, but it was fun. I hope you enjoyed it. And I think we had some valuable information dispersed among the ho-ho-hos and all that stuff. But you got to admit, it was different, right? And different when it comes to ADHD isn't a bad thing. Boy, I'm really pulling teeth here. I hope you enjoyed it. Speaking of the previous podcast, I mentioned that Jason wasn't available. Jason who? Jason Froetz, our resident ADHD coach for Club ADHD with TNT Tips and Tricks. And I said he'll be featured in the next edition. Well, this is the next edition, and I'm sorry to report our scheduling didn't jive. We're playing makeup here, you know, getting caught up, and it just didn't sink in. Or it just didn't sink, I should say. So we don't have Jason with us for this edition of the podcast, but I can say this with all honesty, he will be back during the next edition of Club ADHD, the podcast, and hopefully that'll take place in about a week's time as we continue to catch up. Now, let's get back to this edition and what we've got lined up for you as Club ADHD, the podcast, continues. It's now time for the interview portion of the program, and we'd like to welcome someone who's no stranger to Club ADHD, the podcast. He's a comedian, a TV personality, an author, and oh yeah, he's an ADHD advocate. It's Rick Green. We started off the interview with Rick telling us about a committee he's recently been appointed to. It revolves around mental health.
Yeah. So we're on the Patient Advisory Committee of the Province of Ontario Neurodevelopmental Network, PONED with a small N for the network. And it's an organization that funds research into mental health and the brain and so on. And one of the organizations that we work with as well is the Ontario Brain Institute, which is an amazing group of people. And they're doing all kinds of research, genetic research. And one of the things that amazes me is they've identified so many genes that are associated with ADHD. And in talking with them, they point out that the same genes are showing up for other executive function disorders, for obsessive compulsive, for Tourette, for whatever, that this overlaps. The genes run one into another. And actually, the head of the research department there, the gene research, told me, he said, if we were naming or identifying the disorders today, and if we, or rather, if we knew back then what we know today, we would have a completely different classification of the diseases and disorders and issues, because they're kind of all on a spectrum, and there are so many different variations. Even ADHD, there's 2, 3, 4 subtypes, depending on who you talk to. I mean, there's two main ones. The people have, everybody seems to have the inattention, but some people don't have the restlessness and the hyperactivity. Anyway, so we meet with them a few times a year to lay out stuff. We've helped them with research questions. They have a science day every 4 or 5 months. Maybe it's once a year. Not, I don't know. Anyway, it's amazing because you get to sit in and hear the research and see some of the research, and it's astounding to watch. I remember one of a video of a mouse with they switched on the gene, one of the genes that causes autism in this mouse, and it, the other mouse in the cage was running all over the place and active and sniffing and climbing, and this one sat in the middle and just basically shook.
Wow.
then they switched off that gene, or switched off, whether it was on or off, whatever they did, they switched the gene, and then they showed 2 months later. And both mice were running around. Now, he said the one with that had the gene that had it switched off for a while is not as social, is not quite as developed as the one that did not have the gene switched off. But the difference was just dramatic.
I guess it would be hard to trigger ADHD in a mouse because it's so diverse.
Yeah, ADHD is so complex. Yeah. There's so many variations. And they've identified, I think it's 106 genes now. So it just depends on how many you have turned on. And that's why there are so many presentations. And then, of course, the thing you add to with ADHD is it's situational, you know. So a short attention span may be fine if you're writing comedy skits, which is what I was doing and still do. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily a gift or a strength if I were to sit down and try and write a screenplay, which I have done and failed at several times. And it was only once I had the diagnosis I was able to let go of that goal, and also let go of all the beliefs that I built up, that I'm afraid of real success. All the stories I had come up with why I can't seem to finish a screenplay. And it's like, yeah, right. Here's why.
But you can come up with comedy sketches. You've done that with the Frantics.
Yeah, with the Frantics on the Red Green Show, I could sit down and write six scenes for the Red Green Show in a day, shorter scenes. That I could do day after day after day. In fact, that's what I did, which is how I got to the 700 episodes of radio and television. That was easy for me. And so it was easy for me to dismiss it because it wasn't hard work.
Now, that said, I mean, it's not all roses and rainbows for you. You struggle at times, I know, because we're friends. We talk about it. Now, during those times, do you ever hearken back to the screenplay? Oh, I couldn't do this. Or are you able just to remove that from your mindset?
Well, it's not always rainbows and,
that's what I'm saying. You struggle.
Unicorns and unicorns and fairies are there too. But these are vicious unicorns, and the fairies lay curses
they
on people.
Eat the fairies.
Yeah, they're cruel, cruel. They're Game of Thrones fairies, I think is what it
but
is.
But do you hearken back to your failures during that time, or are you able to isolate it?
I am now because I know what's going on. The desire to finish a screenplay, there wasn't one idea that was like, I've got, this is a story I need to tell.
Yeah.
And I learned enough about screenplay writing. It is a complicated process. There are things that you have to track, the character arcs and the story arcs. And what I'm good at is the dialogue. And in the courses I've taken, they said, now the first 3 months of the screenplay are structure. And then in the last month, you sit down and write the dialogue. It's like, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
Okay, so call me in 3 months once you've got the structure laid out and I'll go in. So I knew enough about it. I know what the odds are of a screenplay actually ever getting made. And Paul Chatto, one of the Frantics, actually came up with this idea of this couple who keep developing television show ideas that they know are never quite going to be good enough, but they'll get development money. And then one of their ideas is green lit and a stars gets interested, and all of a sudden now they've got to actually take one of their proposals and turn it into a script. And
that wasn't part of the plan.
Yeah, it's a hilarious idea.
Yeah, I agree. I'd watch that. Now, getting back to your screenplay idea, it didn't work for you, but did you learn something from it?
I think part of the screenplay was just I learned enough to go, I'm not interested. And I learned enough about myself. I think where the dark stuff comes in when I haven't just getting motivated to come up with something, you know, we can be hypersensitive. So sometimes just a negative comment can really throw me for a day.
But isn't it a little strange that sometimes we even try to find a negative where there isn't a negative? We misread it.
Well, you know, what's the statistic? Something like kids with ADHD hear 20,000 more negative messages by time they reach the end of their teens. And that's a lot of don't and stop. And that's wrong. I got these out knowing I was going to talk to you. I got out some of my report cards and This is my kindergarten report card. Ricky has improved in muscular control, but does not relax easily. His need for activity at all times may well be cause for untidiness in seat work assignments. My messy handwriting, basically, again and again and again. Richard has done satisfactory work. Every one of my report cards is satisfactory, satisfactory, yeah. C, C plus. Although I got a B in spelling here. Apparently that was grade two.
Any mention of your potential?
Richard, printing still needs to be improved. Ricky has shown attaining good marks is on tests. He is capable of improving the quality, but his daily assignments must be carefully. It just goes on and on about how sloppy I am. Trying hard in all subjects. Trying.
Trying. That's amazing that you have those report cards. I'm lucky to find my car keys.
Believe me, my mom saved these for me, because when she passed away, we found them. And I could go through them and it read parts of it. And it looks like the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual list symptoms or the ASRS, the Adult Self-Reporting Scale. So, you know, back in 19, whatever that would have been, or 1827 when I was young. Up until 1951, it was called defective moral control. And then it was called minimal brain dysfunction, which actually a couple of doctors have said, you know, it's not a terrible name for it. Minimal brain. There's a slight dysfunction, but it's minimal.
Minimally broken.
Yeah. Well, a dysfunction, something's not functioning. It doesn't mean broken. You're not functioning. And, you know, I'm willing to admit there are parts of my brain like not blurting stuff out or saying things that I'm, you know, that function's not strong.
And what about not maximizing potential? At least that sounds a little more positive.
Absolutely. But that's applicable to everybody. I mean, show me somebody who is living at their full potential. Nobody is. No. Everybody can improve. Every quarterback could do better. Every accountant could make fewer mistakes. And I talk to any parent, they can all see ways they could have improved. And yet, at some point, if you're lucky, your kids will tell you, you did a great job. My parents did a good job. And for most parents, when they hear that, their tears flow because that's been such a fear. I think part of it is just being compassionate with myself. The danger with being compassionate, the danger of that is, it can lead me to, I can't, I have ADHD or not today, or I deserve the afternoon off. So that's the tricky part. You know, the ADHD is an explanation of why I may not feel like doing something or why on my checklist of things to do, the ones at the bottom are the easy ones that aren't important, but they're the ones I'll tackle because they're easy. And the stuff like, I don't know, finishing a blog or something that requires a little more mental effort and it's going to go out into the public world and, you know, may not be funny or may not be helpful, whatever. There's all this pressure on to do something. Those things get set aside. And that's easy for me to go, well, this is the ADHD. What I have to do or what I do is then go, yeah, that's just, you know, I don't want to do this now. And then I'm able now and then, more and more frequently, but to say, yeah, that's the ADHD. And that's all it is the ADHD. So let's get started and let it go. And know it's going to be uncomfortable because I can get comfortable.
Just as long as we don't hang our hat on a mental peg when it comes to ADHD and use it as an excuse.
I think a lot of people would admit at certain points they've used it for an excuse. And sometimes, the excuse is for yourself is I'm not going to go to the party. I'm not a social person, as opposed to, well, just go anyway and stay as long as you can stand it. And maybe actually go in and ask questions of people and just listen or sit in the corner or find a quiet spot and see if anyone comes over or look for someone sitting in a quiet spot who looks like you and go chat with them.
Yeah. I have to say this, Rick. Here's what I like about what you're doing as well as your wife, Ada, is that despite going through rough patches and, you know, people just look on the surface, Rick Green, you've gone through some heavy patches and continue to. However, you still keep going and you're doing such a service for people with ADHD and people don't realize just how much of a service you're doing or how much impact it is to you, not only to the other people. Do you find when you're engrossed in that, Does it work against your ADHD and you're stuck in the mire, or are you able to just to get out of it?
I think I'm not quite sure what you mean by is stuck in what mire.
Well, okay, if you see all the ADHD, the negative stories, and you know that you have ADHD, it's almost right. like a psychiatrist seeing a psychiatrist, which many do because right. they have to. Do you find yeah. that being, you know, you're trying to be helpful, in order to be helpful, you got to find a problem. Being faced with all those problems, does that ever impact you personally?
You mean other people's stories?
Yeah, I mean, like other people's
sure,
stories,
absolutely.
And then, oh, holy cow, I'm one of them too.
Yeah, so I think it's hard not to read what people post and not be moved. But moved doesn't mean I have to be paralyzed or collapse into grief as well. And because they may be at a point in life where life looks hopeless, or they've given up, or they tried and it backfired. My sister said this, and da 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 da, and I give up. I'm at the end of my rope. And often, what I've learned is that despite maybe because the Red Green Show is all about men trying to fix things and repair the damage that they make as they fix the things, I've learned to just acknowledge that, yeah, I get that you're really in pain, or that's I understand you're suffering. So when someone says, my sister's a bitch, and I say, yeah, I get it. I really get how upset you are. I'm not saying, yeah, your sister's a bitch.
Yeah, you're being empathetic.
Yeah, I'm acknowledging what's true for them. That is,
right.
this moment, you're upset. And one of the things that a coach or a doctor, a good psychiatrist or psychologist, I don't know, but a good coach or a therapist, let's say, can do is when someone's on a roll is to just stop, you know, is to just acknowledge and say, you're really upset about this, aren't you? Or this really makes you sad, doesn't it? Or how sad does this make you feel? And what happens is you go from being sad to being investigating yourself. You go into right. a different mindset, so that it's kind of like when you're screaming and then someone says, wow, you're really terrified, aren't you? And you, my hands are, and you start analyzing. So that immediately gets you out of the quagmire.
Yeah, you're asking, you know, why am I feeling this way? You're kind of taking yourself out of yourself and looking at it from a different perspective.
Not even, I think it's even pre that. It's not, why are you this way? It's, you're this way, aren't you? What? You're really, really upset about your sister. Yeah, I am. Yeah, but it's to get the person to stop and go, I am. I'm upset. I can see it. You're this, you're that. Yeah. And then you can maybe get to, what do you think is behind that?
Yeah.
What is it that, you know, and you can then look at, how did I get here? How did, you know. And you might even, I don't know, a good therapist might even say, this isn't where you want to be, is it? You know, this must be exhausting, having carrying this around 5 years. And it's like, yeah. In fact, I was in a personal development course years ago, and a woman, it was amazing stories that people were sharing, but one woman was stuck on her husband leaving her. And she openly admitted that she talked about how hurt, much it hurt, and then started talking about how she's never dealt with it or you know, and has undermined him, and has really just, she finally got to the point that she's been really nasty to them and kept them out and turned the kids against them in some ways and so on. But she just can't seem to get over it. He can't get over it. And he said, that's okay. You don't have to. The course leader said, you don't have to, but do you want to get over it? Yes. Okay. Well, how long do you want to stay in this mode of being angry at your husband and, mm-hmm. and his new wife? And how much longer do you want to go? How long has it been? You said 8 years. Do you want to go, say, another 8 years and then that's it? No. Well, 5 years? No. Well, I mean, you've gone to eight. A year? No. 6 months. Okay. Yeah. Six more months and then you can let it go. Okay.
Yeah.
But by the end of the weekend, like the next day, it was a 2 or 3 day course. So the next day, she put her hand up. I'd like it to make it a month. Great. Now the course ends with a it ends on Sunday evening, and then everybody goes back together on the Tuesday, and you're encouraged to invite friends and so on. And so she, at the end, at this wrap up, the completion of the course, she got up and said she had called her husband, had spoken to his new wife, had invited them, and that they were here with her today. It was amazing. It was just not a dry eye in the house. And, you know, we're working together now on the kids, and we're this and that and this and that. It's, So the suffering, when I get into that struggle, and I can feel it, and I'm upset, and I'm frustrated, and I'm pacing, and often it's when I'm working alone, when I'm working alone, there isn't someone to bounce stuff off of. I'm much better at recognizing, oh, this is that stuff again. This is me. I'm on it. I got to let it go. And it seems stupid to me, or it seemed overly simplistic, I guess I would say. Right. But to be able to actually just stop and go and tell myself, you know, what's going on? Why are you so upset? Because if I'm really upset about what someone said, it's like, okay, and why aren't I really upset that 300,000 people will die this month from preventable diseases in third world countries? Isn't that a bigger issue? Why is this one? And then, of course, it's because they've called me stupid, and I've, on some level, feeling like I'm unqualified to be talking about ADHD. I'm not a doctor, whatever. So then I can always bring it back to somebody gets my goat because they've triggered something in me. And that's what really nasty people, narcissists and others, can do, is they're very good at identifying your fears, your weak spots, and playing on them. And of course, our parents, I've met moms who were masters of guilting their kids because they knew exactly how to play upon their fears, their doubts, their whatever.
Yeah, but isn't it a case of it's their issues that really is coming out? They have the problem, and they're just turning it into you.
Yeah, and it's a way of controlling you. And that, you know, and that brings up the topic of what happens as you start to deal with your ADHD, as you start to get it managed. And we have a lot of videos on sort of every aspect of that, of emotional sensitivity to sleep, to practical things, to more holistic things. And once you start changing, you have got to be prepared that people around you are not going to like it. The simplest example, well, I actually made a meme for our Friday Funnies, and it's the wife saying to the husband, Bob, everyone's concerned now that you're getting your ADHD handled. We won't be able to blame you for everything that goes wrong. And as nasty as that sound, it's an unconscious thing that will happen, is people will resist. And the voice in my head saying, what do you know about ADHD? When I was making the original documentary, was actually okay, because I was able to go, I don't know a lot about ADHD, so we're going to talk to people who do.
Sure, we
need experts in there. And I got to share my experience. Patrick McKenna shares his experience. His wife shares her experience of living with him and their son, and so on. So it worked. But that doubt that we have of ourselves, or that undermining.
Yeah. But isn't it funny that when we make the change, as you said, the people aren't used to it, they can't accept it. But in some cases, you've made a change, and the only thing that other person can do is to go back and bring up something you did before the change. And like, it's like, why are you bringing up that? I'm different. They just run out of ammunition.
I've heard often of children, but this is a recurring theme where the kids start medication in school, and suddenly they're not disruptive. They're actually interested. They're listening. They're following what the teacher's saying. They're getting their work done. Their grades are going up. They're feeling great about themselves. And the friends, everybody around them, who always thought it was hilarious that this kid, often a boy, was always cutting up and blurting out and saying stupid things and causing trouble. And so it was hilarious. They're saying to him, you know, you're turned into a robot. You used to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
You're not you anymore. And in fact, the child is themselves. That, because, you know, as Patrick McKenna says in the video, it wasn't fun being that way. And he used the humor to deflect that he was struggling in school. I can't get the right answer, is what I say. I couldn't get the right answer, but I could make people laugh. And so humor is a double-edged sword that way. It can help
you
through. It can also be a tremendous way of avoiding dealing with stuff.
Yeah, some of the saddest people are comedians.
Yeah, they can be. Although when comedians get together, it can get very dark, or it can get hilarious. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, you're feeding off of one another. Yeah, I get it. And I just want to expand on the humor part. You were able to take your humor, as well as Patrick McKenna's humor, and both of you have ADHD, and you created a documentary and We went into great detail about it in previous times you've been on the podcast, but in case you haven't heard yet, it's called ADHD and Loving It. It's been widely praised, accepted across the country of Canada and in the U.S. by way of PBS, and I would have to think that as a result of its success, that you're turning it into other things, I would have to think that you're defining, or you have defined, a role when it comes to ADHD and helping people and making people aware of it. Is that your most important role?
I think what our the biggest role we have, or the thing we do really well, is getting people who are skeptical or doubting or have tried and given up to go, oh, there's hope.
And to think that it all started as a result of ADHD and loving it. Now, for those of you who don't know, Rick is getting noticed and is starting to get accolades by his peers and by governments. You've got the Order of Canada. You won the Order of Ontario and various other notable awards. Now, when that happens, what do you say to yourself? Do you question it or do you just accept it? What goes through your mind?
Well, when the awards came, the first reaction was, well, yeah, well, it's me and it's not Ava. Yeah. And it's not all of the people who've helped. So I'm the face of this. But Patrick and Janice, their courage in opening up for the original documentary is remarkable. So part of me is I know enough about, I've learned enough about television and so on to realize that there's a lot of people that made this happen. What's interesting to me is that I'm pleased with is so many of the people who were involved either recognize themselves or recognize someone they loved, and it made a difference for them. So very often people have offered to help and have helped without compensation.
Well, there you go. You can't get better proof when it comes to you making a difference. Now, I want to switch gears here. All this being done, you've got everything that you're doing. Have you ever reached a point, and I know we both suffer from depression, that you say to yourself, that's it, I'm done?
Absolutely. And then what prevents it from me actually following through on that ridiculous threat is, well, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to leave this up? Are we going to take that apart? Okay, should we just stop there? And it's like, so that's going to be another long discussion. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, too much.
By the time we start into that discussion, another, two more people have signed up to Patreon, or right. A message has come from someone saying, I thank you so much. And, or a school or a company has called and said, we'd like to book Rick to speak to our employees, Big Brothers or Big Sisters organization, sure. Or different mental health conferences, LDA, Learning Disability Association, so on. So something happens. It's like, oh yeah. And instantly I'm energized.
Or something really gut-wrenching that you made a difference in someone's life. I'm sure that has an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so we made a video series. It's called the ADHD Medication Straight Answers to the Big Questions, something like that. And it's basically 5 DVDs. It's kind of, I was going to call it 99 short films about ADHD uh-huh. medication, but everybody around me who doesn't have ADHD thought, well, that no one will buy that. But everyone with ADHD I've told them to says, oh, I'd buy that. Anyway, so it's all of these, we ask a question, what about this? What about that? And then you have experts answering. And we interviewed 18 adults about their experiences of medication. We put the word out to about 300 people, and I think 18 of them said, yes, I'm willing to go public and be on camera and so on. And in it, sitting down and interviewing them one after another over a few days, it only occurred to me afterwards, almost every person there had said, or I found out later, had begun their journey on dealing with their ADHD because they saw ADD and Loving It, or they found the website.
Oh, that's got to be.
Saw one of these, and when people were sharing the stuff they've been through, the crap they put up with, the struggles to find the right medication, especially for people who had something else going on, bipolar or OCD or something else, the figuring it out and teasing it out, I realized again, man, I'm lucky. Mine was fairly simple. what gets me is I'll do something and it'll make me laugh about myself or some frustration, or I'll think of a joke about my ADHD. And it's like, oh, I got to turn that into another meme. And on, right. It goes up onto Instagram and it goes into the Friday funnies that people get. I think we're up to like, I think somebody said we're at 37,000 people subscribed to the Friday funnies.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, that is amazing to me.
Well, I'm going to give you a round of applause for what you're doing. I've done it before.
Thank you.
Everything that you and Ava are doing, it's just fantastic. And I just hope that you continue to do it. And Rick, I'd just like to thank you for once again being a great guest. And thank you for taking the time out to speak with us.
Thank you, man. Good to hear your voice.
And that is yet another great interview with Rick Green. I believe that's his fourth or fifth time on Club ADHD, the podcast. My buddy Rick, doing great work at Totally ADD, both he and his wife Ada and his support group. And you know something? They've given a lot of their time and energy plus money to keep that afloat. And here's something that's very interesting. You can help them if you want to do so financially by visiting Totally ADD and signing up to their Patreon account. Be a Patreon supporter of Totally ADD. Just drop by their website. You can contribute, I don't know, $5 a month, 10, whatever. And you can help them do the work they're doing. Because as I said before, they put in a lot of money themselves. And it's great value. And I highly support them. And I urge you to check it out. That's totallyadd.com. Speaking of websites, don't forget to check out the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada website. They support us here by presenting Club ADHD, the podcast. Of course, we have the Twitter account and the Facebook page. You can visit their website at caddac.ca. That's cadac.ca. It's full of information. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. It's relevant. I would say a good 80%, if not more, you can use anywhere in the world. Yeah, more than 80%. I'm just picking that as a figure out of my head here. Check it out. You won't regret it. That's cadac.ca, cadac.ca. And one other place you can visit, our webpage, if you want to check out the entire list of Club ADHD, the podcast. All of the episodes are listed on our webpage. Here's that address, clubadhd.ca. That's clubadhd.ca. We also have links to the Facebook page and the Twitter account, as well as a link, a way to get a hold of me by way of email, as well as Kadak. It's all there, clubadhd.ca. Okay, I think I've got all the housekeeping done, so let's wrap things up. I think it was a pretty good edition of Club ADHD, the podcast, if I do say so myself, and I am doing so. I hope you agree. I hope you get a lot from these things. You know, I get a lot from them, and it's really heartwarming to hear from you about how it impacts you in a positive way by listening to these podcasts. And once again, feel free to drop me a line. It'll help us spread the word by using your comments. Again, you can visit our webpage and just hit that little envelope there, and you will connect to me by way of email. That's it for this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. This is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, urging you to, wherever you can, whenever you can, say it loud, say it proud, ADHD is real. Bye for now.